Adam, I understand you have some of the hope cards.
I do. I do. It was awesome reading through these. Even though these were anonymous, I feel like I got to see into so many of your hearts tonight. And so thank you for your honesty and sharing what you hope for. So yeah, we're just going to talk through some of these.
Yeah. Share a few, would you?
One of them that I think the word that was on most of these the most often was the word peace. And so this card just summed it up well. Simply peace among all.
We talked about that last Sunday. It's the peace that God promises. It's the peace in our relationship with Him. That there is a peace there. There is an understanding there. There is a relationship that is built on love and trust and obedience. And when you live a life like that, you find that peace. And I know there's inner peace that we all seek. I know there's that tranquility or whatever you want to call it. But when you have peace with God and in that relationship, it sort of spreads through every area of your life.
That's right. That's right. Secondly, the second most common, I think, that was on these cards was for loved ones to come to know Christ. And so this one says, salvation for my parents and siblings. So I know that many of you, that's something that is on your hearts and in your prayers so often, is that your loved ones would come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord.
Well, it's a burden, I think, that people carry, especially during the holidays, when you want them to have what you have, when you want them to know Jesus like you know Jesus. And there's always a hope there that the Holy Spirit can move across their hearts. So keep praying for that, because there is a hope that the Holy Spirit works.
Now, this one has a lot written on it, but at the top of the card, it just says civility. And then it goes on to say, I hope listening comes back into fashion, and empathy, and most of all, simple consideration of others' opinions. And I think that's something that we all probably hope for.
Seriously, that's a problem in today's world? I hadn't noticed. It is just overwhelming, that the change that has taken place, and it seems like it overtook us overnight. Just the attitudes, and again, it goes back to the peace thing. When you have peace with God, with His Son Jesus, then the rest of your life can feel peaceful. And there's just so much anger and bitterness out there, and you know, I know it's cliche to say that Jesus is the answer, but in this sense, it is the truth.
This one is written in a child's handwriting, and there are a few things here. Peace, love, kindness, house, and a dog.
I don't think I can add anything to that. I think that's awesome. That is awesome. And parents, if your child wrote that, remember there is hope that they receive everything they ask for here, including that last item on the list.
That's right. Not too late.
This one says, for me to be a beacon for others and for God's light to shine through me. I love that one. And I think that kind of goes along with what we talked about yesterday in our service, in your sermon as well.
Oh, absolutely. That we are called, as the shepherds were called, to not only see, to obey, to see the Christ child in their own life, but also to share that Christ with others. Not so much the baby in a manger, but the Savior on a cross, and the King who's on His throne in heaven. You have one more?
Got one more. This one says, "For my past that my past insecurities don't prevent me from having a happy future."
Too often, and you all know this, our past, sort of you carry the baggage from that into your present and even into your future. And it's hard to let go, and yet that's what God promises to do for us. That if we give ourselves to Him, He helps us let go of those things that should no longer be burdens, especially the things that we feel guilty over. God says, I've taken care of that. You're forgiven. Move on. And let's see what we can do together in the future. Oh, good stuff there. And thank you for participating and sharing. And Adam, why don't you pray for these that we read, but for all of the ones that were turned in and for those individuals?
Let's take these before the Father. Holy Father, we bring before You tonight the hopes and the fears of all the years. We bring before you our hopes for the world. We bring before you our hopes for our families, for ourselves, knowing, Lord, that you are a good God who hears our prayers. And, Lord, knowing that ultimately our hope is anchored in you and anchored in the assurance that in the end your good purposes for the world will win. And so we lift these to you with that confidence tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Christmas is a time of hope, and that's why we called this Christmas Eve service Hope is Here. And if you want to see hope at this time of year, maybe the best place to do it is in the eyes of a child who just sparkle with excitement and joy that tomorrow morning they're going to wake up and receive just what they need, all 132 presents and a pony with it. And it's exciting to see. I was reading the other day, there was a mom down in Atlanta, and she was, this was early December, she was writing a Christmas card out to her parents who were going to join them for the holidays. And her four-year-old son, Philip, was busy writing a letter to Grandma and Grandpa to put in the card. Well, he finished and worked so hard and gave it to his mom and said, "Please read this." And Joyce Nash was her name, and she looked at the scribbles and the swirls and the unintelligible words, and she says, "Okay, I'll read this. Dear Grandma and Grandpa, I look forward to you coming here for Christmas, and I don't need any presents. Just you coming here will be present enough. Love, Philip." And Philip looked at his mom, and he had this shocked look on his face. He said, "Did I write that?" She said, "Well, that's how it reads to me." And he reached over, took the note back, tore it up, and said, "I am glad we didn't mail that. I need presents." For Christmas, many feel that means presents. That's what Christmas means. It means presents. For others, it's business profits, or it's parties, entertainment, New Year's resolutions, watching bowl games or the NFL wind down. But Christmas always, always means hope. Because the manger always leads to the cross. And the cross always leads to the empty tomb. That's the hope, the true hope that we have. In the book of Matthew, we read this: "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Christmas gives us the hope that God's grace is greater than our sins. That God's grace is greater than anything that we have done this past year that brings guilt to our hearts. Jesus came to the earth not as a grand king. That will come later. But this time, he came as an innocent baby. He entered the world just as we enter the world. He grew up identifying with our needs and with our desires and with our hurts and our pains and our temptations. He knows what it is like to grieve. And so when you grieve, he feels that. He empathizes with you. He knows what it is like to be betrayed by friends. He knows what it's like to be hungry, to be poor, to be tired, to be tempted. And how does that help us? Well, there are people across this country today who are entering churches like ours, and they're sitting down to enjoy a Christmas Eve service. And then they're going to leave, and many are going to celebrate a wonderful and joyous Christmas, surrounded by family and friends. They're going to give and receive gifts. They're going to have a big table filled with food. A lot of smiles, a lot of singing. But not everyone will enjoy that. Many are hurting this Christmas. Some have had loved ones pass away. And so for them, there will be an empty seat or seats at their Christmas dinner table. Some families have loved ones serving in the military. And some of them are in harm's way. Because of their love for their nation, they remain deployed and on duty, protecting our freedoms. And their devotion creates pride in their families, but also worry and concern. There are some in Christmas Eve services today all across this country who face serious health problems, and they wonder if this is going to be their last Christmas. Others have lost jobs or they're confined to wheelchairs. Many are experiencing the pains of aging and the loneliness of broken relationships. And they're wondering if God understands what they're going through. And they're wondering if Christmas just a time to engage in a little joy, or does it mean more than that? And the coming of Jesus tells us it is much more. That Christmas is hope. That whatever we're going through right now, whatever feelings we have, God knows, because Jesus lived the same way. And we have an answer for those who doubt that God knows what we're feeling. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I was living in Florida a few days before Christmas, I was called to the home of one of our church members. He was a good friend of mine. His name was Bill. Bill was in his late 70s, and he was such a good man. He always encouraged people. He loved on people. But he had been recently diagnosed with a rapidly spreading lung cancer. And he was told he would probably not live through the end of the year. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm driving over to his house and I'm wondering, what do I say? I mean, do I walk in and say, "Merry Christmas? Hope you get everything you want, Bill." Do I pray for a miracle? I had been, because there was hope. It's always hope with God. So I went in and we sat for an hour, and finally in our conversation I said, "Bill, you know, we have a hope, you and I, that 100 years from now, we're going to be sitting together in heaven over a cup of hot chocolate," because if it's heaven, there's got to be chocolate there. "So we're going to have hot chocolate and we're going to sit and talk, and we're going to be in new bodies that have no pain and no disease. And we're going to be in a place where there's no death. And we're going to be with each other for all of eternity." And then I told him, "You remember what Jesus said? He says, 'I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will be saved.' He also said, 'I will be with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And Bill just sat there and listened, and we both agreed that Jesus is our hope for today and for tomorrow and for eternity. That Jesus is our hope because God sent His Son to die for us. Jesus is our hope because Jesus is alive, that He walked out of the tomb alive. Jesus is our hope because He understands what we go through. He understands all our trials and all our problems, and He stays with us. I've had occasions many times to talk to someone who claimed to be an atheist, to talk to someone who called themselves agnostic. And I have asked them, I said, "In what do you hope? And the answers I get, if they're talking to me, usually they want a debate. And today, as one of the papers said about hope for civility in the world, today to win an argument, all you have to do is yell louder than the other person. You don't have to have any facts or anything, just yell. But when I would have a nice conversation, they would tell me, well, my hope is in myself, in my abilities and talents. My hope is in my career and in my possessions and what I earn and what I gain. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, I put my hope not in the things that are going to go away one day. The things I'm going to leave behind when I die. I'm going to put my hope in the individual who promised that I would be with him for all eternity. And I guarantee my hope is greater than yours. Because you know in your heart, you can't take this with you. Even if there is something on the other side, you can't take it with you. And that's why C.S. Lewis said, you aim in heaven and you get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you get nothing. Upon what are you building your life? Because life without Jesus is a hopeless end. But life with Jesus is an endless hope. 1994, a few years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, a group of Americans were invited by the Soviet Department of Education to come and to speak in public schools on morals and ethics. It seems that they were having trouble with those areas in their culture. So the Americans went, and they also had the opportunity to speak in prisons, in private businesses, government agencies. And a few days before Christmas, before they were to go home, they had the opportunity to speak in a government-run orphanage. And one of the Americans stood up, and she gave the story of Christmas. She didn't know how many of the kids had ever heard it, but she just felt led, this is what I want to share. And so she told them about Mary and Joseph and Jesus being placed in a manger and the shepherds coming and the angels in the sky and then the wise men following a star. And while she was talking, every child and staff person sat silently taking in every word. Some sitting on the edge of their seats. Now the staff had arranged with the Americans, they were going to do a craft. And it was going to be a Christmas gift for all the kids. So every child received 3 small pieces of cardboard to sort of create a makeshift manger. And then they cut up yellow napkins into tiny, tiny pieces, and that became the straw. They found an old flannel nightgown, and they cut it up into squares, and that became a blanket. And then they had some felt fabric, and they created out of that baby Jesus. And every child received a baby Jesus to put in the manger and to cover up with the blanket. Well, the staff and the Americans were walking around seeing if the kids needed any help putting it all together. And that's when one of the Americans came across a little boy, 6 years old. They found out later his name was Misha. And he had done a great job. He was already finished, but there were 2 baby Jesus in the manger. And so they called over a staff person to ask why there are 2 in there, and the staff person did the translating, and Misha started telling the Christmas story that he had just heard. And he told it almost word for word. He had listened so closely. But at the end, he started ad-libbing. He said, and Maria put baby Jesus in the manger. And baby Jesus looked at me and said, "Have you got a place to go?" And I said, "No, I don't have a mama, and I don't have a daddy, and I don't have a home." And baby Jesus says, "Well, why don't you stay with me?" And I said, "I can't stay with you because I don't have a gift to give you like everybody else did for your birthday." And Misha said, and then I thought, well, Jesus, if I kept you warm, would that be good enough? And Jesus said, "Misha, that would be the best Christmas gift anybody ever gave me." And so I laid down in the manger. And I kept Jesus warm. And he said that I could stay with him for always. And a little boy found hope in someone who would not abandon him, who would not abuse him, but someone who would stay in his heart for always. It is not what we have in life that gives us hope. It's who we have. Hope is in Jesus. And that's why we're gathered here today, the day before we celebrate Jesus' birth, to celebrate that hope. Would you stand with me and let me pray for you? Father, thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you so much for all of those who you reach out to, the little Mishas of the world and the neighbors, our family members, our friends. Father, let us reach out to them too. Let us all cherish this hope that is ours because of you. Because of Jesus, because of the manger, because of the cross, because of the empty tomb. In Christ's name, amen.